Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. In Texas, at least 20 people are dead. More than two dozen were injured after a shooting at a Walmart in the border city of El Paso. Texas Public Radio's Lauren Terrazas reports police have a suspect in custody believed to be the lone gunman.
The El Paso Police Department says a 21-year-old white male from the Dallas area is in custody. El Paso Police Chief Greg Allen says his department is working with state troopers and the FBI to determine if this mass shooting was a hate crime.
Right now we have a manifesto from this individual that indicates to some degree it has a nexus to potential hate crime.
FBI Special Agent in Charge Emerson Bowie says his agency is assisting, but they're not ready to call it a terrorism or hate crime investigation as of now. El Paso PD has not released the name of the suspected shooter. For NPR News, I'm Lauren Terrazas.
What we know about the shooter so far is that he's 21 years old from Allen, Texas. That's about a half hour north of Dallas. Police in El Paso believe the suspect also posted a manifesto before the shooting that used anti-immigrant white supremacist language. His Twitter account, where he often tweeted about President Trump and his support for a border wall, has been suspended.
When President Trump hinted he would visit El Paso, the response from some local leaders was swift. Here's Democratic Congresswoman Veronica Escobar on MSNBC.
The president has made my community and my people the enemy. He has told the country that we are people to be feared, people to be hated. From my perspective, he is not welcome here. He should not come here while we are in mourning.
Many El Pasoans have been more focused on helping each other than on President Trump. At a memorial near the site of the shooting, Clarissa Hernandez and her 11-year-old son, Ezra Maganes, stand near a pile of teddy bears. They're here to do acts of kindness. One day they gave out water. Right now they're giving out hugs.
I can say we've hugged maybe a good 80, 90 people.
Mm-hmm. I'm just happy that people have been coming. And people have been hugging each other, us, and to get some sadness or even all of it out of their hearts.
Hernandez says she's waiting to see how the president handles his visit.
I know that El Paso has a lot of mixed emotions about him coming. All I can say and think and hope for is that he does something to move the country in a positive direction.
But many community members are pushing back. Fernando Garcia directs the Border Network for Human Rights. He's helping organize a protest during Trump's visit, and thousands are expected to attend. In fact, as of Tuesday night, 20,000 people signed on to an open letter asking the president to stay away from El Paso.
We'll illustrate how proud we are and how strong is El Paso. El Paso es firme, El Paso es strong. But at the same time, we're going to reject racism and anti-immigrant agendas.
Garcia and others say while Trump isn't fully responsible for the shooting, his rhetoric about immigrants and the border helped propel a white man to target this community, driving 10 hours to attack a border city that's more than 80% Latinx. In a manifesto, the alleged shooter said he was responding to a Hispanic invasion. Trump himself has used similar language.
Words matter. And with this hate and vitriol is coming from the highest office, from the White House, from the President of the United States, he's not welcome until he repents, until he asks for forgiveness, until he changes his language and his rhetoric towards immigrants.
This isn't the first time a community reeling from a mass shooting placed blame on the president and showed in no uncertain terms he was unwelcome. After a white gunman killed 11 people in a Pittsburgh synagogue, claiming that Jews were funding a migrant caravan and, quote, bringing invaders to kill our people, Trump visited the city. Thousands took to the streets in protest and, in a highly symbolic move, turned their backs to the president. Pam Goldman attends the synagogue.
Trump obviously didn't pull the trigger himself. And he didn't tell the shooter to pull the trigger at the Tree of Life building. But he incited him to do so by years of comments about immigrants from Mexico and Central America. You could say he was and continues to be the contributor in chief to a climate of hate and bigotry and violence.
Goldman says she's proud of the message the Pittsburgh community sent Trump back in October. And she has some advice for El Pasoans in the days and months ahead.
This might sound hokey, but it's true. Just love each other. You don't know how much shock you're in. Hugging helps.
Goldman says she'll be thinking about El Paso today and supports the city as it embarks on a path of healing that has become all too common for communities in the U.S. I'm Mallory Falk in El Paso.
Hundreds of people in El Paso turned out Sunday for a silent march and rally against gun violence. From member station KERA, Stella Chavez reports the parents of a victim from an earlier mass shooting in Parkland happened to be in El Paso to unveil a mural in honor of their late son.
Joaquin Oliver was one of the 14 students killed by gunmen at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. To commemorate his birthday, his father Manuel Oliver painted a mural outside Las Americas Immigrant Advocacy Center in El Paso. That location near the border was chosen because Joaquin was an advocate for immigrants' welfare in addition to speaking out against gun violence. Oliver urged El Paso residents to become advocates too.
This is the moment to talk about guns. We know what those families are going through. Their life has changed forever, and they expect you to do something about it.
The mural includes Joaquin's image and jailed immigrant children. Oliver added, El Paso is not alone, in Spanish. I'm Stella Chavez in El Paso.
This is KERA News. El Pasoans gathered last night to honor the 22 victims of the mass shooting that took place just over a week ago when a gunman targeting Mexicans opened fire in a Walmart. The city held a memorial service in a minor league baseball stadium, and KERA's Mallory Falk was there.
Thousands of El Pasoans streamed into Southwest University Park Stadium, where they were greeted by therapy dogs, patient golden retrievers with silky fur who traveled from Nebraska to provide comfort.
I love animals.
14-year-old Christina Acuna raced over to the dogs.
So when I saw them, I wanted to touch them.
It's been a rough week and a half for the Acuna family. Christina's great aunt was at the Walmart working when the gunman opened fire. She escaped. Christina's mom, Linda, says the family is doing everything they can to support her.
She still doesn't want to go out very much. We've been trying to take her to church and take her out in places, but she's very jumpy, so she really doesn't want to go because she's super traumatized.
Linda says she brought her daughters to the memorial service to show they can keep going in the midst of tragedy. For many, like Christina and Linda, the service wasn't just a space to mourn the dead, but a first tentative step toward healing.
We are a distinctive, multi-generational culture. We stand at the intersection of three states and two countries.
El Paso Mayor DeMargo addressed the crowd.
We are over 2.7 million strong. We will not be dismissed, denigrated, or defined by evil.
Other local leaders took the stage, as did Texas Governor Greg Abbott, who said he's launching a domestic terrorism task force in response to the hateful attacks. But it was officials from Mexico who received standing ovations, like Jesus Seade, Mexico's Foreign Affairs Undersecretary for North America.
The terrible consequences of all forms of anti-Mexican, anti-Hispanic rhetoric should now be clear, as well as the need to counter them at all levels and by all means.
Javier Corral, the governor of Chihuahua, said it's time to demand an end to racist anti-immigrant narratives.
No representa a los Estados Unidos ni a la sociedad norteamericana, mucho menos a los vecinos de El Paso, Texas.
Corral described El Paso and Juarez as a binational community with strong bonds of cooperation.
Porque no solo compartimos negocios o industrias o compras en los Walmart.
We don't just share commerce and industries or Walmart purchases, he said. We also share culture, music, food, and in particular, languages and families. Throughout the service, 31 luminarias lit up the baseball field, 22 in the shape of stars to honor those killed here, and 9 circle-shaped luminarias for the victims of the mass shooting in Dayton, Ohio, that occurred just hours after the one in El Paso. Yvonne Borden came with a friend and fellow teacher. She says seeing those illuminated stars...
That really touched my heart, you know, and I don't want to start crying, but it's really, it hit home.
The weight of the tragedy fully sunk in for the first time, she says, at the service.
Jorge Calvillo Garcia.
Near the end, a chaplain read the names of the victims.
Elsa Liboria Mendoza Marquez.
The crowd raised up their cell phones to cast a light across the stadium. A mariachi performance of Juan Gabriel's Amor Eterno, a Mexican ballad traditionally played at funerals, closed the memorial. In the days since the massacre, it's been performed at vigils throughout El Paso as a communal expression of grief and as an act of resistance. A fierce wind blew as the mariachi band played and the sound system shut off. But the musicians kept going, determined to pay tribute. In El Paso, I'm Mallory Falk.
Antonio Basco worried that few people would show up for his wife's funeral. Margie Ricard was one of 22 people who were killed in the mass shooting in El Paso when a gunman who told police he was targeting Mexicans opened fire in a Walmart. Margie Ricard was his only relative, so he decided to invite the public to attend her memorial service last night. Mallory Falk from member station KERA was at the service and says the response was overwhelming.
Hundreds of people lined the streets outside La Paz Faith Center. Most of them didn't know Margie Ricard, and they don't know Antonio Basco, but they do know what it means to show up for one of their own.
This is what we do.
Raquel Henderson stands near the front of the line.
This is what El Paso Strong is to be there for our fellow, you know, resident, our fellow man, our fellow El Pasoan.
Henderson arrived with a gift for Basco.
The piece of woodwork, it's in the shape of Texas.
Ricard's name is carved into the wood, along with a heart marking the spot where El Paso sits on the far west edge of the state. 2 weeks after the shooting, Henderson is still reeling.
It's like somebody came in and just violated, you know, my home.
But coming here for this service, it's a way to reclaim that home. Inside, the chapel fills up fast. Basco worried he'd have to bury his wife of 22 years on his own. But when he enters her memorial service, hundreds of people rise from the pews to applaud and embrace him.
We love you.
Never had so much love in my life.
His wife's casket is surrounded with flower arrangements sent in from all over the world.
We lost count after 500.
Salvador Purchase owns the funeral home that's handling Ricard's burial for free. He says the memorial service was supposed to be held in a smaller venue, but once it became clear more than 1,000 people were planning to show up, he found a larger space. This service is the last of the 22 memorials for victims of the shooting, and it's taken on special meaning.
Since he opened it to the public, I think it was a way of the community to mourn the whole situation.
A stream of community members pass through the chapel, paying their respects, then making room for the next round of visitors. At one point, they sing along to Amor Eterno, a Mexican ballad that's frequently played at funerals. It's become an anthem of grief and resistance in El Paso since the shooting. Estrella Duran stays through the full service. She was close with Ricard.
All I can say is that she was a really nice person, a lovely person. She was incredible.
She says Ricard recently had surgery to treat her Parkinson's disease and was thrilled that it seemed to work. that's made it even harder to lose her. For NPR News, I'm Mallory Falk in El Paso.